Today is the third day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather yet again and take the next step forward. Each and every day, a step forward leads us through the scriptures. And so we have been working our way through the book of 2 Samuel and the life and reign of King David, the ups and the downs, the deep valleys, the things that have happened, his own son wanting to overthrow him and take the kingdom over and kill his father. Absalom, of course, has died, and we are continuing forward in the drama. Today, 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14 through 21, verse 22. Meanwhile, Sheba traveled through all the tribes of Israel and eventually came to the town of Abel-Beth-Maacah. All the members of his own clan, the Bichrites, assembled for battle and followed him into the town. When Joab's forces arrived, they attacked Abel-Beth-Maacah. They built a siege ramp against the town's fortifications and began battering down the wall. But a wise woman in the town called out to Joab, "Listen to me, Joab. Come over here so I can talk to you." As he approached, the woman asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he replied. So she said, "Listen carefully to your servant." "I'm listening," he said. And she continued, "There used to be a saying, if you want to settle an argument, ask advice at the town of Abel. I am one who is peace-loving and faithful in Israel, but you are destroying an important town in Israel. Why do you want to devour what belongs to the Lord?" And Joab replied, "Believe me, I don't want to devour or destroy your town. That's not my purpose. All I want is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri from the hill country of Ephraim, who has revolted against King David. If you hand over this one man to me, I will leave the town in peace." "All right," the woman replied. "We will throw his head over the wall to you." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off Sheba's head and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn and called his troops back from the attack. They all returned to their homes, and Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now Joab was the commander of the army of Israel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was captain of the king's bodyguard. Adoniram was in charge of forced labor. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Sheva was the court secretary. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests, and Ira, a descendant of Jair, was David's personal priest. There was a famine during David's reign that lasted for 3 years. So David asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, "The famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites." So the king summoned the Gibeonites. They were not part of Israel, but were all that was left of the nation of the Amorites. The people of Israel had sworn not to kill them, but Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, had tried to wipe them out. David asked them, "What can I do for you? How can I make amends so that you will bless the Lord's people again?" "Well, money can't settle this matter between us and the family of Saul," the Gibeonites replied. "Neither can we demand the life of anyone in Israel." "What can I do then?" David asked. "Just tell me and I will do it for you." Then they replied, "It was Saul who planned to destroy us, to keep us from having any place at all in the territory of Israel. So let 7 of Saul's sons be handed over to us, and we will execute them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord." "All right," the king said, "I will do it." The king spared Jonathan, son Mephibosheth, who was Saul's grandson, because of the oath David and Jonathan had sworn before the Lord. But he gave them Saul's two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth, whose mother was Rizaph, daughter of Aiah. He also gave them the five sons of Saul's daughter Merab, the wife of Adriel, son of Barzillai from Ahola. The men of Gibeon executed them on the mountain before the Lord. So all seven of them died together at the beginning of the barley harvest. Then Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, the mother of two of the men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at their bodies during the day and stopped wild animals from eating them at night. When David learned what Rizpah, Saul's concubine, had done, he went to the people of Jabesh-Gilead and retrieved the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan. When the Philistines had killed Saul and Jonathan on Mount Gilboa, the people of Jabesh-Gilead stole their bodies from the public square of Beth-Shan, where the Philistines had hung them. So David obtained the bones of Saul and Jonathan, as well as the bones of the men the Gibeonites had executed. Then the king ordered that they bury the bones in the tomb of Kish, Saul's father, at the town of Zelah, in the land of Benjamin. After that, God ended the famine in the land. Once again, the Philistines were at war with Israel. And when David and his men were in the thick of battle, David became weak and exhausted. Ishbi-Benob was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Then David's men declared, "You are not going out to battle with us again. Why risk snuffing out the light of Israel?" After this, there was another battle against the Philistines at Gob. As they fought, Sibekai from Hushah killed Saph, another descendant of the giants. During another battle at Gob, Elanon, son of Jair from Bethlehem, killed the brother of Goliath of Gath. The handle of his spear was as thick as a weaver's beam. In another battle with the Philistines at Gath, they encountered a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all, who was also a descendant of the giants. But when he defied and taunted Israel, he was killed by Jonathan, the son of David's brother Shimeah. These 4 Philistines were descendants of the giants of Gath, but David and his warriors killed them. Okay, so yesterday we concluded the book of John, the Gospel of John, which concluded the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we finished the territory in the New Testament known as the Gospels, which brings us today to some brand new territory and the beginning of a new era in the New Testament. The book of Acts that we're stepping into today is kind of the story of what happens next. What happened after Jesus ascended to the Father? And Acts is part of a 2-volume set. That might sound a little confusing, but the author of the Gospel of Luke, most scholars agree, is also the author of the book of Acts. And so Luke is the gospel that tells about the story of Jesus' life, and then Acts is the story of what comes after Luke, Acts. So in some ways we could call this second Luke. But as we dive in, we will see that the book of Acts is leading us forward in the narrative, and we will meet back up with somebody that we know pretty well, the Apostle Peter, and the book of Acts will tell us of Peter's transformation and his ministry, and then we will meet this Pharisee, a very devout, zealous Pharisee, who is desiring to do everything in his power and getting authorization to do everything in his power to literally stamp out the memory of Jesus, to wipe his name from the earth. And then this Pharisee meets Jesus, and it transforms his life in a radical way, so radical that it's still transforming the world until this day. This Pharisee, this zealous man, was named Saul, and he would become the Apostle Paul, And so we'll spend the latter part of the Book of Acts getting to know Paul. And we'll spend quite a bit of the rest of the time that we have together this year going through the scriptures alongside of Paul. His letters are the earliest documents that are preserved from the Christian era, and his letters make up the bulk of the rest of the New Testament. Not entirely, but a good majority. And so we're moving into the territory now where we're getting to know Paul, and we're going to get to know him really well. We will also notice in the Book of Acts that there is a force, a power that fuels everything that comes next. And this is the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. And we will see nothing that happened next. Nothing in the early church would have happened without the Spirit, the comfort, the Spirit of truth. And we should remember this while we're reading through the Book of Acts, because we are in the same era, and it is the same Holy Spirit that is inviting us into collaboration on the same mission that we read about as we read in the Book of Acts. We're just a bit later in the story. And so we're opening up the Book of Acts, but we're also kind of turning the page into some new territory, and may we drink deeply as we see the formation of the church, as we learn of our spiritual ancestors, and that the Holy Spirit is working now as then. And so we begin. Acts chapter 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." And the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. "Brothers," he said, "the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. Judas had bought a field with the money he received for his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all his intestines. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the Aramaic name El Kedama, which means field of blood. Peter continued, "This was written in the book of Psalms where it says, 'Let his home become desolate, with no one living in it.' It also says, 'Let someone else take his position.' So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. And they all prayed, "O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry. For he has deserted us and gone where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. Psalm 121, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for bringing us through another week together in your word. And even as we close this week and open a new chapter, open a new book in the book of Acts, we look forward with great anticipation for all that we will learn and all that you will show us as we learn and grow together. And as these seeds are planted in the soil of our lives, may they be a harvest that is bountiful for your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that's home base, and that is where you can find out what is going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app, as I mentioned often, is available. It's free. Just search for Daily Audio Bible at the app store that works with your phone or tablet or whatever. And you can download that and have that nice and handy. And so, yeah, either way, while you're checking out, check out the community section. This is where the prayer wall lives. Check out the resources that are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop to take our journey deeper and connect us further together. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. The reality is we wouldn't be here if we weren't here together. There wouldn't really be a point, but it wouldn't be happening. But we are in this together. Wow. We're in the 6th month now of the 18th year. I guess I'm just realizing that. So 18 years and 6 months. At the end of this month, we've been in this together. And if that's life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
G'day, my Daily Audio Bible family. This is Ozzy James. Just asking for some prayers. My wife and I are about to make our first trip back to Japan since COVID hit the world. And just asking for prayer for Journey Mercies. We are going to be spending some time with her two brothers up there, and they still haven't yet received Christ, and we want to be able to really be a good witness and testimony to him, to them. And, you know, my wife was the first Christian in her family, and praise the Lord, both her parents received Christ before they passed away, and couple of aunties and one of our uncles have received Christ. So God has been doing a big work in the family, but the brothers are still yet to make that commitment, and we just pray that when we go up there we'll be a good witness to them, and also we'll be sensitive to where God might lead us next, because we feel we'll move back to Japan in a couple of years time, but we're not sure exactly where God's going to have us. So we're going to suss out a few things while we're up there, so please pray for us while we're up there. Love you, Daily Audio Bible family. Ozzy James signing out.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Shelley in Central California. I'm a few days behind, and I'd love to catch up and hear what other prayer requests have come in and what other things have developed, but I just feel like I should stop while I'm driving and call now in response to what I've heard. So a couple days back, weeks back, I heard a prayer request for Eve, and she had multiple miscarriages and a baby that was born and died, and my heart is just torn for her. We've had a miscarriage in our family story too, and so I've just been praying for Eve all along, and please keep praying for her with me. And today I was listening to, I heard the prayer request from the mom with our little girl, and my heart is so much wrapped up in what you were saying too. I have a teenager that's been dealing with mental health things, and sometimes she sees things too, and it is super, super scary. And even though we know God is big and can come in the middle of all this or whatever it is, or what's causing it, be it spiritual or physiological or whatever, it's just hard and scary. And so I'm praying along with you, and I definitely will be remembering her and looking forward to hearing what happens in your story as well. But love you guys, and have a lot to share of our own, and I'm just gonna say
hello, Dia Beers, first time caller. This is Heartbroken in the state of California. I have a situation that needs to be lifted up in prayer, and it's regarding a roommate that's been with us for a very long, long time. Her name is Alice. My husband wants her out, and he wanted to kick her out on Tuesday. But then she came and she pleaded with me to see about staying an extra 30 days so that she can get herself situated. It's just that she's had more than enough time, and my husband already told her last month that she needed to go. This is troubling because what's even more heartbreaking is that she has a son who wants nothing to do with her. And this is just even more heartbreaking for me. So, I feel really bad about this. Please pray for my roommate, Alice, that a door will open for her and that she can get a place very quickly and that she doesn't have to worry about being homeless. I'm at a loss for words. I don't know how to go about this. You are my best resource at the moment. I already called a friend and left her a message to help pray for this poor woman. She doesn't really have any family. And just pray.
Hello, DAB family and my special friend, Carol. You know who you are, who introduced me to DAB. I am 6 months post-op, losing an eye. A long list of injuries, including tibia, fibia, shattered ankle, broken nose, fractured rib from a car accident, getting hit by a truck. I just want to say, praise God. Thank you. He got me this far. I'm walking again. I've got my prosthetic eye. And God is good. I pray for everyone here. I would like to also ask for prayer for my cousin, my godparents, my godmom with dementia. My godfather just got diagnosed today with cancer. It keeps falling. He's 86. He's got heart issues. My cousin is the only person that is taking care of them. My brother and sister have stepped up. I am 2,000 miles away. It's just a lot for my cousin. He recently retired and now he's full-time taking care of mom and dad. And I'm just asking for prayer for him to come to the Lord, leave everything on the doorstep. He will handle everything. I know without a doubt he is in my life and redirecting my path to something wonderful. Thank you, DAB. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Carol, if you hear this. I love you. Everyone stay strong. Special prayers have gone out for Junk to